Yes, indeed, folks. Do not adjust your television sets, phone, laptop, computer, however you're watching this evening. We are back on the road, Holbert House Show. It's been too long. I think it's been 2 weeks since we did one of these. An awful lot has happened, as is generally the case in professional wrestling these days. So I don't actually know what's happened, but I think a lot has. I'm pretty sure. So, yep, back in the game. Hope everyone is well. Dynamite is just under 2 hours away. You would assume a pretty important episode, right? Kind of the reset, post pay per view, new era almost feels like a parody of itself at this point. How often we say it in the space about every different wrestling promotion, but theoretically it kind of is a new era too. So we shall see what they have up their sleeves, but I'm here to hang out for probably, an hour, maybe 90 minutes if we're enjoying ourselves. Talk graps. If you have questions, put them in the chat. I'll try my best to get to them. If I miss them the first go round, feel free to put them back in there, because there's just the chat can build up pretty quickly when you go at the pace I go at. For example, like killing 2 minutes talking about nothing. Everyone as well, folks. Let's lock in. Let's scroll up here. 1 second. You may notice the Pepsi Max gimmick has really died to death, to be honest with you. I mean, sometimes I still do it to keep up appearances. Still chasing that sponsorship deal, but it's over, to be honest with you. I'm too old. Let me do this tweet here. That's the thing I should have done. I knew this saying, I forgot. I'm out of rhythm with these things, you see. Talking graps. That's fine. Okay. Yes, indeed. Trick Williams, new NXT World's Champion. That was a very good match. Those two guys have had good matches pretty much every time out. I think they've wrestled like three times, four times maybe even actually. I think four times. And they've all kind of progressively built on the last, and this was no different. Real shootout, had a great atmosphere. Very, very cool. I hate Trick. He's, as we've discussed previously, I think he's someone to circle for like really, really big things. In the not too distant future. I don't think there's any reason to rush. Give him maybe a year, 6 months to a year as NXT champ, and let him figure out how that is, closing shows and being a main guy. And then I think it's time for the big show. But there's no rush, not Paul White, to be talking about the Raw or the SmackDown. Oh, how? Mr. Old, where's your favorite Roddy Danielson match from late 05, 2006 RH? The one from Vendetta, I want to say. Let me get a date on that. Vendetta, I'm pretty sure, is the one that I love. Those two guys had incredible chemistry and need to wrestle each other again before it's too late. But yeah, the ref stoppage one, November 5th, 2005, Vendetta. Good evening, Rafe. Evening. Big man is back. Yes, indeed. Doing okay, fellas. I appreciate you in the chat. Doing pretty well. Trying to get in the rhythm. You know, it's a little kind of burnt out, but trying to keep my foot on the gas best I can. In a healthy way. I don't try to burn myself out any more than I already have. But I do think there's something to be said for, I feel like we've got some momentum here in Holbert land, as we know it officially. So try to make the most of that. Have fun along the way. Worldwide was good on Monday. Yesterday, we had a show on Late Night Grin that I thought was pretty damn fun. Young Dukes had notes, which was pretty cool. So, it's going well. It's going well. I hope everyone watching here is in a good place also. It's true, Rhea hadn't given up the belt until we lost. My God. See, the wrestling like news cycle goes, it's rapid now, man. It really is. Can you recommend some Stan Hansen matches? I've been looking to go further in his catalog for a while. Kobashi and Kawada from 93, I want to say. I always fuck this up. I've literally done this on multiple house shows. There's a February match and a July match. February is Kawada, July is Kobashi. I think it's 93. Someone in the chat will know. Those two jump off the page. The stuff with Carlos Colon, which we did a green grappler on Stan Hansen. So if you like go to that tweet or that show, whatever, we have like six matches there that are pretty sweet. Like I think we did him and Goldie versus the Funks, I think was one we did. man, even like him and Hogan's even a hoot from the Tokyo Dome in, you know, Wrestling Summit. Him and Funk in singles matches was always a hoot. There's a lot of good stuff with Stan because he's, I mean, a lot of the match, some of the matches are spaced out because part of the reason the great matches are great is because he really protected his aura. He didn't just give anyone, you know, comebacks and offense. Like sometimes he would just kill guys. But we also covered recently the brawl with Kurt Hennig from the AWA, from his ill-fated time as AWA World Champion, which is another one that's like, that's kind of a hidden gem, in fact, is that one. So there's a handful of suggestions. The Andre match, oh my God, the Andre match is unbelievable. It's probably the most famous kind of great Andre performance, I think it's fair to say. So yeah, there's a handful for you. He's over the Jericho Vortex to take Simwell. Not particularly, but I probably won't see a lot of it. So, you know, you get what you get. Who should WCW pick number one in the draft? If it's WCW, you've got to be Bron Breakker, right? He's like the most WCW guy. I mean, Cody should be WCW, and he flirts with being WCW, but he's also like very aggressively World Wrestling Federation. Cody Rhodes is a complex force of nature. If we're being real. Okay, I'm not in trouble. Good. All right. Joe, after watching the dance battle, I've learned that Team Little Big are the modern WWF Brainbusters. The dance battle. I don't know what that means, Andrew. Team Little Big is Alexa and Braun, right? Okay, in about 20 minutes when I get you on the chat, I will know what that means. Thank you. I agree. They very, you know, classic team, classical heel team. That mixed match challenge shit was pretty fun, I must say. Especially when you can say it in one fell swoop. All right, hello Franco, Fredro. Hope everyone is well. Do you think AEW could do a women's continental classic, maybe exclusively on Rampage this summer? Absolutely, they could. Yeah, the talent is absolutely there, man. I mean, there was a recent show where someone asked, like, what would the lineup be? And we had a lineup of 12, and we felt like we were leaving people out. You know, like, the roster's really strong. Do I think that is necessarily the thing to do right now? No. Not I don't personally. I mean, I'm not getting, if they announce it more, I'd be excited. But, like, to me, the main thing is the goal should be getting the world's title programs on the level of the men's world title programs. You know, that to me is like the goal. Like, beyond anything else, I think in an ideal world, you get to pay-per-view Sunday or Saturday, and you think to yourself, we could close with our women's title or our men's title. Now, Vegas is interesting because while it isn't the world's title, the TBS belt, in theory, should have a shot at doing that, right, with Mercedes and Willow. So we'll see if they manage that. That's my main priority in terms of, like, I think that's what their main priority should be, I guess I should say. I'm not booking, believe it or not. So, that's my thing. But Continental Classic, absolutely, man. I think the matches would be great. So I'm not against it. Oh, I think it'd be a really cool thing to add to the TV, especially with, you know, 5 hours, right? I think there's always room for that kind of stuff. I didn't see the – I saw the finish of the Battle Royal. It's all Becky's, like, post-match and stuff. I mean, it made sense to me. I think I was rooting for Liv because it would make Ibu mad, but, like, putting, you know, logical head on, I think that it was probably the logical call, right? The smart call. She's the biggest star. And if you want to go to Liv, which I don't know if they are or not, I don't follow close enough, but if they do want to go to Liv, her winning a Battle Royal does less for her anyway. So I'd imagine they use this to fuel some sort of heel turn, maybe. Triple H, he loves the frustrated baby face who turns heel. Like, he loves that. What I've seen, Liv's kind of leaning that way anyway. So, yeah, that's my read on that Battle Royal that I did not watch. What do they need to do with Jericho to try and make him fresh again? Just send him home for an extended period, to be honest. It's I know that's lazy, and I wish I could give you a better answer, but, like, that to me is where it all starts, you know? Like, because I think it's hard to assess what he's currently doing when my bad. It's hard to assess what he's currently doing when, like, you're already tired of seeing him. You know, so I think some time off, and then reset, I think. And I understand why Tony's loyal to him. Like, I get it. He did a lot for the promotion. I don't know what it looks like. But I think even if he has ideas, I think they need to come after a couple months off. It's been a lot, man. A lot of Chris Jericho. So that's my personal read on it. Also, wrestling guys that he can have, like, good matches with, which to me at this point is just big fuckers that he can, like, trade chops with and have brawls with. I don't know why he's going 60 minutes with Hook, regardless of the character stuff. You know, like, I have no clue. I'm not growing a mohawk. I've just yet to have the mental crisis befitting a haircut. So, like, usually for those of you unaware of Hulbert Law, I usually wait until I need a life reset before I shave my head. Usually they come around once every 6 weeks so I can, but I'm actually doing pretty good right now. So I haven't cut the hair. I'm waiting. If it keeps growing, I guess that's a good thing. It looks like shit, but you know, win some, you lose some. AEW is going to be fans, and there's not really anything that can move the needle. False. I think there's truth to, like, the people that watch are the people that watch, and they serve that audience. And I think you see, like, from the look at the number of pay-per-view buyers, you see that folks that put their money down are very happy with with the product they receive. You know, I think there's truth to that. I'm always hesitant on, like, just kind of closing shop on that stuff, though, and being like, well, that's that, you know. I think it is clear at this point it isn't going to be an individual talent that changes it and, like, gets people through the door. Like, I think it has to be an angle. It has to be an idea. Do I think there's one on the horizon? No. But if you'd have asked someone in fucking April 1996 if there was one on the horizon for World Championship Wrestling, they'd have said certainly not. So you never know. I think most likely they stay where they are, which is as the kind of, you know, the hardcore fans alternative and the kind of more match-oriented promotion. And look, I think we've seen the numbers, right? There's health in that. I think you can get kind of caught up in the cycle of downswing sometimes. It's like, they do some good business. I think they want to get the TV houses up. But I think what they're doing right now, if you trust in it, I think it will take a while anyway. So, is this truth to it? I'm not too keen on, like, writing them off in that regard. But yeah, I mean, they probably aren't going to be surging into, you know, this crazy viewership spike anytime soon. That seems unlikely to me, but hopefully it'll be good for wrestling, right? Yeah, absolutely. Trick and Ilya beat the hell out of each other. Absolutely. Appreciate this. I'm glad I'm helping. Wow. Joseph, how's the Uso stocks looking? I've heard it's been a rough month. I mean, look, they're doing their thing, right? Jim Uso is injured. God bless him. I wish him well. Jay is still unbelievably over. His matches are, well, you know, he's got over, and that sometimes comes with certain things that Oracle I've been talking about for a while with Jay. He's getting looser the more over he gets, which is kind of a great wrestling tradition. I'd imagine the Priest match would just be fine. I think Jay is, it's difficult. I kind of feel like he's run his course as singles, but the crowd wouldn't agree with that. He's so over. I mean, I was there live last week, and he was probably the second most over guy on the whole show behind Cody, you know? Maybe Becky. Like, they loved Jey Uso. So, yeah, it's difficult. I don't know how you kind of, feels like you probably want to get the Usos back together, but is that fair, Jay? I don't know. I'd do it, but I get that he's moving a lot of merch, so we'll see. Hope Jimmy as well, though. Last movie you cried at. Let me pull out the old letterboxed log here. I watched 3 motion pictures today, none of which made me cry. I watched The Naked Gun, which we were talking about on the Late Night Grin Discord the other night because of the Cody news. And I just forgotten how funny that film was. I watched Naked Gun, I watched Punch Drunk Love, which is terrific. And I watched Risky Business, which I'd never seen, and it didn't quite work for me. The last movie I cried at was on April 17th. I saw Lady Bird for the first time. I know, I hadn't seen Lady Bird. I'd never seen it, and if you know what I'm talking about, you'll know the airport scene. Kick my ass. Got me. Now, anyone who's watched it before, I'm a very frequent, I cry at pretty much any motion picture. So that's a pretty good run for me. I went a week without crying at a film. That's like, I should get a medal or something. Trick vs. Paul White might be something. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. To start off, thoughts on Mike Santana and TNA. I hope it goes well, but not very encouraged by that main event scene. He's a good promo to make things work. Also, Trevor Lee in ROH likely. I think Trevor will get a shot under the kind of Tony Khan banner. Yeah, I think that's, I'd say that's a lie. Likely, I don't know, but like, I think it's definitely in play, especially because he did the TNA thing before and that was hilarious. So, Mike Santana is a good, I think he's a good professional wrestler and he can talk, as you said, and he has a good look. I think with a good booker, he could probably be a pretty useful, you know, upper mid card. Maybe he breaks through and does more than that. TNA's great if it's fucked. I mean, I watched quite a lot of the show on Saturday, Sunday, Friday, whenever the fuck that was. And I think it was Saturday. And like, yeah, that was alarming. I mean, there was like four lights out. And Matt Hardy and Sami Callihan with the big takeaways, like beyond Mike himself. So I wish him well. I think quite a lot of Mike Santana and just kind of the way he conducts and carries himself, I think he's pretty awesome, honestly. I'm not convinced by him as a singles, but he hasn't really had many chances to convince me. So I'm rooting for him. I fear that the creative will make him like everyone else and just kind of he'll go in circles, but hopefully he kills it, man. I mean, that's what I want him to do, you know? So my God, Chuck's in the house. Great Charlie of Great Britain. I should be back on the air with Chuck tomorrow for the Dynamite review. I think I'm back. I believe I'm back in the game. Are you ready to live in a world with 3-hour weekly Dynamite? No. I will not be on those review shows if that happens. That will not be a thing that I am reviewing anytime soon. I mean, I get if it happens because I understand, like, you know, financially and all that stuff, but as a fan, no thank you. Joe, in your opinion, which Green Grappler is your favorite one you've done and which one surprised you? Because I honestly, we've done a lot of these now. My favorite one, I can tell you right away, is Macho Man Randy Savage. I thought that was one of the best shows I've ever done in about wrestling and about whatever the fuck. I thought it was actually like, I was very, very thankful to have done that. And I know that the Warrior match means a lot to Alex, and he got to kind of have a whole segment about that match, which is probably the most like quintessential, you know, late 80s, early 90s WF match imaginable, right? Especially with the post-match. So the Randy Savage episode is something I'm very proud of. I'd say that's my favorite immediately. In terms of ones that surprise me, it's difficult because a lot of these guys I go in as a fan of. I would say, honestly, a recent one, Gail Kim. Not because I didn't think she was good. I was aware of Gail's reputation. But just like seeing her have matches with dance partners you don't necessarily expect to, like, you know, like, I don't, there wasn't the most lucrative opponents at times, but Gail's like attention to detail really aged well and stood out. And I wasn't sure how her matches would hold up. Even like there was a cage match with Madison Rayne that we covered. And like, look, we've loved to Madison Rayne. When we noted it down, I was kind of like, well, I mean, we'll see. And it's not a great match. It's like a freestyle match, but Gail is so good in this match. And I don't say that to say that Madison's bad and the crowd just fucking sucks, unfortunately. But Gail Kim was the one that I think like I left with the most reverence for that I didn't necessarily have going in. I knew she was good, but I hadn't seen a ton. So Gail Kim probably would be the one that surprised me. But yeah, definitely Savage was my favorite, definitely. One second, folks. All right. I think my stream yard is called back up. Prayers to Jim Uso, factual. This spreading legs business on WrestlePurist is very, very unsettling. Very unsettling. Who are the Mount Rushmore of releases and what makes good ref to you? Mount Rushmore of referees. Tommy Young, for sure. Probably Charles. I don't know. This is a very interesting question. Charles Robinson is, though Rudy Charles is very good also. I don't know. I'm not a big ref guy. Which, hilarious sentence, I know. What I mean by that is I very seldom spot good and bad referee performances. Tommy Young had a very distinct style and the way of carrying himself, so he immediately came to mind. But, like, I will regularly see comments on refereeing and I'll have no grasp on what's being referenced or talked about. It's not something that stands out to me. So I guess to me what makes a good ref is don't make me, you know, actively see that you're fucking something up. That's probably the best thing. I don't think there's a firm rule. I don't agree with the idea they can't have personalities. I think that's actually kind of lame. I think there's always room to play around with those things. You don't want to do it over the top. But, like, sure, sometimes you can do that stuff. You know, Triple H always had the spot with Earl Hebb, nowhere he would like push back. And Jericho has a similar thing with Aubrey at times. And I know some people don't like that stuff, but to me, it's part of the show, right? Like, people that watch intently, they feel like they get to know everyone on the show. And the referees, to me, are part of that. You don't want all of them to be that way, but I always think there's room for referees with personality. So it's case by case. Don't actively fuck up. And to me, you'll be fine. I don't really notice with any great intricacies personally. Yeah, 93 are the big handsome matches. But yeah, you're right. The other stuff, I mean, that was kind of a play they would go to, right, with him and, like, testing the pillars. The Misawa matches aren't particularly good. They don't really gel, but yeah. What would you think of Gunther replacing Vince, you, Timothy Thatcher, and Imperium? I would become a freak, to be honest, mate. I'd become a full WWF Titan soldier. Timothy Thatcher on fucking SmackDown. Like, that's one of the funniest things imaginable. I'm there. I don't expect it, but I'm there. What are your favorite US matches ever? FTR Briscoe's one. Bret and Austin from Survivor Series 96. Joe Punk 2. Punk Cena on Raw. Dragon and Dragon has, Dragon and Punk, and then I, like, went off into a million different directions with Dragon. Dragon and Kenta. Dragon and Nigel. Take your pick. I know the most famous one is Liverpool. It's not, I often think the other stuff is actually more interesting than that match, the stateside stuff. So take your pick with those. But yes, Dragon and Punk. Dragon and Kofi, for fuck's sake. That's like a moment more than that is an extraordinary moment. Yeah, there's a handful of just off the top of the head, but those definitely come to mind. Fuck, man, Bucks Lucha Bros is like an all-timer to me. The Revolution tag with the Bucks, like, there it is. It's hard. That's just like top of the head, but I probably forgot hundreds of matches that I love just as much as those, you know. FTR Briscoe's one is like probably my favorite wrestling match, though. So that'd probably be the one seed. Respect. And getting shit done while listening to me talk absolute nonsense. I respect it. Thoughts on tonight's Dynamite? I hope you're doing well. I am doing well. Thank you. I hope you are too. I think Dynamite looks pretty good. I mean, in ring, it's going to be covered, right, with Mox and Hobbs and Fletcher and Swerve. I hope they have a couple angles that, like, hook us for the new cycle. You know, that's my main thing. But I think it'll be a good show. I have no doubt. Would you like to see Daniel McCarvey versus Brian Danielson on a sick episode of Rampage? I would like that for my friends. Old Dan is not really my... He's not really my cup of tea, personally. He's not really my thing. I understand, I respect, I appreciate he's not really my thing, but I would be, my friends would be very happy. So I will root for them. Maybe I'm in the minority, but Trevor Lee and Danny Garcia as a team would kind of rule. Trevor involved with DGFTR, I could see happening. I know he's going to have a great performance in DPW if he works there. Yeah, I think he'll be fine on the indies. I'm not sure where he'll slot in. If he does go to an AEW, I mean, I agree with you. The matches with him and Danny would be great. No doubt. I'd like to see them wrestle each other too. but I'm not sure he'll be coming in just because, unfortunately, he's run. I've said this before, like, I hate when people leave WWE without anything to. I don't mean this to be dismissive of Trevor because he isn't. He's, but like, it feels like he has nothing to show for it in terms of star power. Now, like, he kind of does because the NXT run, he was very good, and he had. I know he had that program with LA Knight that was a hoot, but you get what I mean, right? Like, he's not. There's not really a lot of moments that the fan who only watches WWE be like, oh, Cameron Grimes, he did insert. You know, like, it doesn't really exist, and I think that's a shame. So. Because of that, I think he's going to have to kind of reset and rebuild rather than being like a hot commodity on star power. But he'll be a hot commodity on just talent. So hopefully it goes well. What do you think of the Judgment Day? I think Judgment Day is one of the best factions in WWE in 10 years. I think the Judgment Day might be the best, the actual like true triumph of Triple H's booking. I mean, it was great that he just let Gunther have sick matches. That's like impressive. Like, but it's also, you know, I would do that. The Bloodline stuff, I think, is a monster all to itself with Paul Lee. One thing I would circle is like actual good Triple H booking is what he did with the Judgment Day, because he saved. I mean, that act was, it looked doomed, honestly. And he's got a lot of good TV out of it. I don't know if it's something that, I would attach the world's title as we currently have with Priest. I'm not sure about that personally. But I mean, there's been a lot of good stuff, and I've been very impressed by the way that it's kind of given all of those guys a role to play. It's made Rhea a bigger star. It's made Dominic. Finn has helped all involved, right? Like I think it's been very, very successful. And I do think because we're in a kind of hot spell right now for them and there's more fans watching, I think it is something that will be remembered very fondly. And like, it's the opposite of what we're talking about Trevor Lee, where I think, you know, in 25 years, I think fucking Damian Priest will be signing Judgment Day photos, you know, and that would be like a thing that we'll remember. So it's been cool, man. Like, they've done a lot of good stuff with that act. It's been very impressive. Trevor Lee is the exact kind of person the business, modern wrestling business loves to fail. Everyone needs to have main event potential. No one is allowed to be a good mid-card guy anymore. Makes me sad. Yeah, I agree completely. It's all like long term and ceiling and fucking, yes, it's a shame. There's got to be a role for Trevor Lee to play on that TV show, right? It has to be. It is a shame. Started watching 92 WCW and feel like I know everyone, sorry, because WCW remade. God bless. That was a hell of a time. But I'll bring it back one day. Okay, this is the reference earlier in terms of dancing. It was a clip of the dance battle of Truth and AJ in the midst of the Mixed Match Challenge. My God. Mixed Match Challenge was a wild time. Some Hanson suggestions here in the chat from friend Joe. Okay. You think Hook ends up going to NXT? Probably, yeah. I don't know anything. It's just probably. What that looks like, I have no fucking clue. I don't know if they'd like reset him, or that would just like he would just be Hook, the character we know now on NXT. I have no clue. It'd be interesting, honestly, as a project. We'll see. I've been looking at what NXT women could get caught up to bolster the main roster, especially Raw, and not gonna lie, it looks spooky. Fallon and Lyra feel like the only options. Yeah, I'm not particularly well-versed on the NXT squad, so I can't really speak to it. Oracle gave me a scouting report at one point. He didn't seem particularly bullish. The big thing with the women's division on the main roster to me is, like, I've said this a lot, so I apologize, but I do think, like, the big, to me, it's like they've got to get some depth there, you know, like the mid-card. It feels like you have the top tier, and then there is, like, a massive drop. And I think, like, the Battle Royal lineup kind of showed that. So you need people to fill in those gaps, to me anyway. Lyra is a good worker, I know that. I don't know how her personality would necessarily connect. Roxanne is now starting to try and get some more of that personality as a heel from what I see, which is cool. So, yeah, I haven't seen a lot of Fallon. I don't know. I know Tatum Paxley's thing is like people are into that, but I haven't seen any of it. So, yeah. Hello, Plethora. TLC 2018 had a pay-per-view match of the final Mixed match challenge. Carmella and True versus Fox and Jinder. That was the second season, right? I'm pretty sure. That was the second season. How's the draft board looking for Friday night? Honestly, mate, I haven't even started one. I have no clue. Haven't even thought about it because I'm so worried about the show. And I'll probably try and piece that to everyone. Luckily, with all-time wrestlers, you can kind of just throw a dart at the board. And, like, you're going to get some good wrestlers, right, in that one. There's also definitely going to be some hilarious, like, legends that are not picked across the 120 picks because, of course. So, yeah, I haven't prepared, but I think it'll be fun. Joe, who among Bron, Tiffany, Mello, and Ilya do you think will get their hands on gold first? Great question. I think that is a really good question, man, because I think Mello, I think Bron might be involved in like an angle in the main event, but I could definitely see Bron getting the US or IC belt. But I will take Tiffany because I think she's going to win the briefcase. So at that point, you know, it just feels like the safe pick. I think Mello's the one that I'm intrigued, like what he ends up, where he ends up slotting in, you know? Because that one's less obvious. It doesn't mean he can't do well. It's just with Ilya, it's like I think he'll immediately go into that like IC title kind of circle, you know? Wrestle Gable and Sammy and guys like that. Bron, I think, is going to be involved in some pretty big business this year. Tiffany is already in a title program. I don't know where Mello lands. We'll see very soon, I'm sure. Draft, hopefully, is favorable to him, and he can get a good role. I think at some point, we'll get a tag team Women's Continental Classic. Cool, man. The Continental Classic would be neat if you had, like, the top guys pairing up to, you know. I think Liv is going to help. Sorry, Liv is going to win it before Rhea comes back, maybe with the help of Dom. Yeah, I agree. I think Dom's going to help Liv too. Which is saying it's like kind of a, you know, it's kind of in line with the Oracle pitch of Dom going out and getting a new girlfriend. So it's not quite as we envisioned it, but I think Liv could have a lot of fun with that. So yeah, that could be fun. Okay. Liv and Dom talk. Maybe floated a rule that new world champions first challengers should be a former world champ to solidify the new champ's reign. Thoughts on this? To be clear, John put rule in quotes because like meaning kind of like a booking law. I think it's a good kind of rule to, you know, not like, you know, have to be living and dying by it, but I do think there's something to be said for it being a guy that the people know, he's been there, you know, and he is established at that level. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think if it's a guy who's really like struggling to convince the people he's a main event, I think that can be very tough on a new champion. I don't think anyone in the world thinks AJ Styles is going to beat Cody Rhodes, but he's still AJ Styles. And there's a certain level of like cachet and credibility that comes with that, you know, that reputation. And it makes Cody's job easier, right? Like when they're in the final stretch of that match and AJ's on the apron pulling his elbow pad off, the people know, like, even if they know he ain't going to win, they believe that that move is a main event move. You know? They believe that the calf crush or whatever. Like, I think it matters for sure. So, yeah, I think he's right, honestly. Again, there are obviously exceptions, but generally I think it's a good call. Who do you think could be involved in the next big feud for AEW? Look, people ain't going to like this necessarily, and I understand this could be an alarming combination for some, but if we're just talking, you know, for the broader AEW audience, whatever that looks like at this point, I think Max and Ospreay is probably the feud. Now, my friend Cal, who asked this, I understand he's probably just punched his webcam or whatever the fuck, but, you know, that's the one that comes to mind for me. but we'll see. I mean, I think Swerve and Hangman still have some chapters left to write, but, yeah, I think Max and Ospreay will probably be one of the big stories in AEW. They need one, though, right? We've talked about this. They need one of those big feuds, even if it isn't that. I don't know. What do you think of this? Brian on Dynamite Tonight, kind of passionate promo where he has to go away for a while. Only for Don Callis to come out and run him down, Ospreay comes out. I think it makes sense. Yeah, I think you either do that or you do Osprey showing so much sympathy that Don doesn't think he has the killer instinct. I actually prefer your idea, to be honest. Yeah, I like it. What do you think Braun does when he comes back? I think he'd be a good in a tag team, though. Braun versus Jacob Fatu. I mean, that'd be great. You need to see what they look like next to each other, though, because I think he may be like a foot taller than Jacob. So I may be a little bit hesitant. But, I mean, it's interesting he's in the draft pool. I kind of expected him to be in the Uncle Howdy return thing. I kind of thought that'd be what was happening. It may still be. I don't know. But he's in the draft pool, so perhaps not. I mean, I'm down for him and Ricochet to pick up where they left off. I thought that thing was cool. Like, I thought that was a good team, and they could both still do single stuff. So, yeah, I'm not sure. He's a little challenging to book in that you have to protect him, but you don't want to protect him so much that he becomes, like, you know, kind of overwhelming as a top guy, because he does have his limitations. Of course he does. So, it'll be interesting. I think they did a pretty good job of him last time around, right? It's like kind of babyface monster. I thought he did a hell of a job, so. We shall see. I still think there's a chance he's involved in the kind of Wyatt 6 thing, though. Joe, who do you think would do better on the main roster, Lyra or Davenport? I've seen very little of Blair's NXT stuff. I would say Lyra, just on, I prefer her work, but I got to be honest, I don't think either is like a slam dunk for main roster TV. I mean that, like, to dismiss them, I just, yeah. I think there's a certain spark, I think, in the main roster that's going to be challenging for both parties, if I'm honest. But hopefully I'm wrong. Thoughts on King of the Ring? It seems we've got Gunther, Woods, Drew, and maybe Sheamus so far. I think it's a great vehicle for Gunther to reset after losing the belt. It's perfect. What a perfect gimmick for him, right? He doesn't need to have the crown for a year, but King of the Ring, Gunther, like, that's just... And it gets the... If you stack it, it gets the gimmick back over. Because that's something they probably want to do every year, right? So, yeah. I think Triple H leans into the long-term storytelling stuff way too much. Like, why have they been doing this slow burn Candace indie heel turn for like 2 months now? Yeah, that's a fair criticism. I think he can be overly patient with things that you might as well just pull the band-aid off. But it's that stuff can be a blessing and a curse, right? Like, it is. I don't watch Raw in full. I watch more of SmackDown just because, like, recently it's had my interest more with the Bloodline and the AJ matches and stuff. But it's an interesting thing in that I don't really watch the TV closely, but I feel like I'm pretty into and excited about their directions and, like, God forbid I say era again, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm interested in it. And part of that is because of the long-term storytelling in that you feel like you can follow along, you know, and kind of see big picture. To your point, though, do we need that for Candice and Indy? Probably not. So I think there's truth to what you're saying, for sure. It's not saying I feel strongly about it because I don't watch it closely enough, but yeah, I totally get your point. Yeah, I saw this. I actually felt bad for Jay with this deal, because if you see the clip, I know you're just like going, like, you know, it was on Twitter and stuff, so I'm not knocking your chat, but the clip is like, he's pretty clearly, you know, aware the match wasn't very good. And that was simply what he, you know, that was what he brought forward as the reason for it. It was one sentence in an answer that I actually thought was pretty interesting, but I understand that someone then tweeted it as like a, as your comment mentioned, you know, that they used that as a tweet, and then that became a thing to quote tweet, and then it became, you know, what it becomes. The answer I actually thought was relatively insightful. His reasoning is obviously, you know, I don't know. I don't really expect him to say what I think the reason was, if I'm being honest. But yeah, time was not the issue with the Usos match. I think I tried to be very fair with my review of that match on Wrestle Purists, and yeah, I think I said what I needed to say. It was not time. That was clear. All right. Some Braun Strowman talk. This is 26 minutes ago now. Yes, this was awesome. Do you see the Astronauts in AEW at some point? I do, dude. I cannot wait for that match. That's the first time I'll be watching DPW. I've never seen it before, so that'll be my first time. But I'm definitely watching that match for sure. Why is Johnny Ace a better Dr. Death tag partner than Terry Gordy? It feels unfair. Dude, Miracle Violence Connection is like the ultimate, like, better in theory. Like, They're wrong. They have good matches, but a lot of their matches are not what you imagine. Like, especially when they work the mat and they go long. It's a shame. I kind of just like pretending because the name is awesome and they look beast. So. You get what you get. This is true. Rafe is right. You should give this a thumbs up. This is very important. I don't really know why. I think we do the exact same viewership regardless, to be honest, but it is good apparently. So if you give us a thumbs up, that will help someone. Probably me. Hopefully me. You think Sheamus still leaves? That Finn, I thought Finn was staying, but the word that Finn got paid big kind of made me go, I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm 50-50 on it. I'm sorry to give you a lame answer, but yeah, I'm 50-50 on it. I'm not sure. Not sure at all. Yeah, man. People love Awesome Truth. DIY is, I think their creative hasn't helped, but that goes back to what we were talking about in regards to Lyra and Blair. Like, I do think main roster audiences, you need a little bit of little juice, little spark, you know? I think it's important. I didn't see the match. I know I upset Ivo, though, which is good. When I had the most fun with AEW, they had stuff like Punk, Max, Hangman Elite, along with great weekly matches. Now it feels like a product I don't need to watch weekly. Yeah, I don't really disagree, to be honest. The action is good, so when I watch it, I don't regret it. But it definitely doesn't have me hooked the way it once did. I know other people feel very differently, and that's fine. But yeah, I can't pretend I'm in a different spot to you on that. I actually feel pretty similarly. When I watch it, I enjoy it. It doesn't dominate my brain the way it used to. I used to, like, oh my God, they're going to go here, there. This is going to happen next. I used to do that a lot. I don't. Maybe that's me changing. But yeah, I definitely get your point. Just rewatched Bryan and Cena from SummerSlam. Real grab. Screw the rankings. Let's run Keith Lee versus Swerve at Double or Nothing so we get that book closed. I don't know, man. I think I've read enough of it. I get you completely. I don't know about the Keith Lee main event project, if I'm being honest with you at this point in the game. But yes, Cena and Bryan is fucking awesome. It is fucking awesome. Factual. Ladybird ruled. How was Becky Piper? Would love a TV title match. Dude, it kicked ass. I think it was the best match on the show. They was in the opening spot. The night before, Monty was there and they were on second to last and he said the crowd was not into it. Because they really did an old school, like, you know, monster underdog match, and Piper took almost all of it. Piper was, she's awesome, dude. Like, her stuff looks good, but you can tell that she's someone that's very, very steady. Sometimes she can almost be too safe for her own good. She was very good, though, in Cardiff. She found a balance in that regard. And Becky gave her the whole match. Becky was over huge. It was the opening match. Like, yeah, it fucking ruled. It's the best match on the show, I thought, as I said. So, yeah, I'd love to see them wrestle. I'd love to see Piper just do more on TV. Like, she's someone that could really help with that mid-card thing we were talking about. But it doesn't seem like she's really connected from what I have seen, you know? Is Cody cast as Norberg in the remake? Maybe, which is, like, unbelievable content. That could be hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I really thought the TNA rebrand was going to make some of these young guys stars, but Mike Bailey's still in the same spot since before. Yeah, the product, from what I see, feels exactly like the way Impact did, you know, which was everyone's fear, right? It's just going to be Impact with a new or an old name. So, yeah, it's a shame. I would like it to be something that we could talk about more on the shows and be excited about. And the reason I don't talk about it on the shows is because I think I'd be mostly negative. And at that point, what's the point, you know? It felt like they had a window again and they closed it themselves, which is lame. WrestleMania 40 got one of my friends into wrestling for the first time in a decade. He doesn't know much about AJ Styles. Any match is good to introduce him with. The Cena series, man, that's natural, right? Like, Cena's an actual celebrity, God forbid, and they had great matches. I mean, they're not like my favorites by any means, but they're so, especially the second and third one. The second in particular is like a full-on epic. Big booming epic. So the Cena matches, I would honestly say, like, some of the TV stuff he did as champ is probably better for a new fan than like the pay-per-view stuff where he's got more time and can have a more, you know, conventional world title match. Like, I did recently a Dolph match on my review blog. It's just terrific. So I would say the Cena stuff, and then I would say like some TV hits, maybe with like Mox and Ziggler, and there's a few others from around that time. That triple threat with Corbin and Dolph that's like fucking unhinged. There's a bunch of triple threats in that regard, actually. But yeah, there's some off the top of the head. Because a lot of the stuff, like, you know, would be a little bit more. I don't really necessarily want to. I don't want to be like the Minoru Suzuki match with Japanese commentary. I don't know how in the new fan is. So, I know you said they're an old fan is coming back. So, yeah, there's a few. Do you think Dynamite will be good tonight? I do, and I'll be on. Even if it's bad, I will be on tomorrow because I need. I want to make up the two I missed. Beyond that, I don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest, because like I don't want to become someone who does shows just for the sake of doing them. Like, I want to be able to actually enjoy them and add to them. But I will do two shows to make up for what I missed because you know, that was kind of frustrating to miss two on the bounce, especially we just got that new squad together. So I'll be there. All right. Faction. What's your favorite match of all time? FTR Briscoe's one. I'm aware you asked that before I said this because this was legitimately 30 minutes ago, so no sweat. But FTR Briscoe's one, I think. Also, on Ibu being on time for another Fed, but always late for the place he has contract with. I don't know. It seemed like he did well on Fightful, though. That was pretty cool. I had some fun with that on Twitter, but he did well. Steph's great. So he should be on time. I understand worldwide. We're just like, you just take us for granted, right? Fucking forget about him. But yeah. Shout out to Ibu. All bits aside. I love the one you guys did on the Briscoes. I know that is an emotional one, but it's a wonderful tribute. That was the grappler that got me to cry, I think, right? That's a great episode. Yeah, it's just sad. And it's we already had announced it before Jay's passing. So it was that whole thing still doesn't feel quite real, weirdly. I know it should, but it doesn't. Green Grappler Briscoes was great. Yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely one that I think, like, I very vividly remember taking that very seriously. So, absolutely, I appreciate it. Who's the most featured wrestler in Green Grappler who you haven't done an episode on? Probably Flair, maybe. I mean, featured matches, maybe Flair, but just featured in general, it's absolutely Alexa Bliss. I have legitimately worked an Alexa reference into at least. I'd say 90% of the episodes, there's one. And none of them belong or fit, but that's what you do when you're a real fucking hooper. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'd say Flair. I feel like Flair's come up quite a lot. That could be completely false, but when you go do guys from 80s and 90s, their best matches, like, you're generally going to get to Flair. Flair is someone that I don't know if we'll ever do an episode on because at this point, where's there left to say? He's terribly complicated and also objectively a piece of shit. And it's like, what is... Like, I definitely think there's something to be said for when you talk about historical figures, like, you know, trying to discuss them and, like, you know, fully understand the good and the much more important bad in his case. But with him, it's like he's been covered in, like, so many documentaries and he has a fucking film coming out. Like, what's left, right? So I think it'll be Flair forever, to be honest with you. Gail Kim Terrence Rowe last one standing was so great when I watched him. Yeah, we did that on Grappler. That was fucking awesome. Absolutely. Got some referee talk in the chat, which pops me. Mr. Mark Calloway is advocating for a women's international belt, intercontinental belt, sorry. Who becomes the mid card ace in this scenario? King Kota. Right, gotta get Kota in there. I'm always pitching Kota. If you ask me a question for who should be, it's Kota. Who's your favorite next wrestlers? Next wrestlers five. Next wrestlers? If you're talking about young wrestlers or NXT wrestlers, my bad, bro. Let me pull up the roster. This may be a short list. Trick Williams, definitely. Love Trick Williams. I think there's absolutely truth that he has a long way to go, but that doesn't bother me. I think he's a great prospect. Okay, this could be hilarious. Right. I'm not going to count Baron Corbin because even I am got some shame. I'm going to just leave him off. Charlie Dempsey. Okay, we've got Trick. We've got Charles Dempsey. We've got We have got, well, all right. There may be a, this may be a two-man board here. I'm looking at the Wolves roster. I like Roxy. Roxy at the free seed. Honestly, I want to be clear. I'm not, like, I haven't seen a lot of these wrestlers, so I feel, I can't, Sean Spears, I'm not going to. I think Wes Lee's pretty good if you, if you. Oh, I can't do Diet Jack. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Okay, it's four. I got four. Sorry, bro. That's best I got. I gave it all I had. I gave it all I had, folks. All right. Here's some Cam Grimes talking in the chat. Joe, do we end Arsenal's title hopes on Sunday? Probably not. It'd probably help them immensely. You think Trevor Lee will do better than Ali because he's a better wrestler? I like his matches more. I don't think he'd do better in that. I think Ali is really good at branding and marketing himself. And so he's been a draw, right? So I think Ali's been successful. Will I enjoy his work more? Yes, but I'm a bigger fan, right? So it's like, I don't see that as a knock on Ali necessarily. I think Ali's doing a great job. Like, nerds like us aren't really into what he's doing, but he's killing it in kind of the big picture. So yeah, I think he's doing good, but I'll probably like Trevor's matches more. I think Ibu is right in that Dom and Rhea going out is really going to hurt the Judgment Day, both with the heat magnets. Yeah, probably right. Probably so. I didn't know Dom was out. I wish Dom Mysterio well. You think Finn got over a mil? Yeah, absolutely. Which is hilarious. Good for him. Very much deserves to just have an incredibly lucrative final chapter of his career. Even though he still is built like he's 25. God bless him. What a pro. All right. Okay, I'm scrolling here. Some Hook chatter. Hook should wrestle in Japan for a few years in an ideal world. It needs to be in the ring in front of crowds multiple times a week. Japan tours is the place for that. I agree. I don't know if it will ever happen. I think his success is kind of going to be an issue, sadly. But yeah, I agree. Okay. I have no idea. There's a lot. The PWG tape library will have to be, you have to get to a detective before you ever post that on a streaming service. Like, it always popped me the idea of, like, the AEW streaming service, you, like, in theory, you could have some of that library up there, but you'd have to fucking, you have to get some real, you know, it'd be a full-time job going through that shit. So, yeah, there's some great wrestling matches, though, you know. I think JC Jane's going up. I could see JC actually doing pretty well on the main roster because she has, like, I think she's willing to throw herself into character and personality and stuff. So I could see her doing well. And when I say well, I don't mean she's going to be the world champ, but I could absolutely see her finding a slot on the main roster. So that I could see that for sure. I think Hook ends up staying in New Japan. It feels to me, based on TV and stuff, that Tony really likes Hook and wouldn't want to lose him. I assume in AEW. Or maybe New Japan. I don't know. Do you think LA Knight will win a world title? Will win a title this year? Sorry, I think he should move to Raw and challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship. His wrestling might not be top tier, but it's good enough for him to have a good reign. I think he could definitely win it. I think he's still the favorite to beat Logan. Would be my guess. The World Heavyweight Championship allows a lot of guys. It gives a lot of guys a shot at winning it, right? Because I think the other belt is going to be pretty, it's going to be pretty rare that guys get that, with Cody's reign going to be long and so on and so forth. So I think he'll win a belt. I don't know if it will be one of the world titles, but it certainly could be with that move to Raw that you mentioned. I mean, he's obviously a bigger deal than Damian Priest, and that's currently the champ, so it could happen. I'm not sure it will line up because I think, I'm not sure. Depends where Drew lands. Drew and Gunther are like the two guys that I think are locks to win world titles here shortly. So, why higher on Hook than others? I think AEW squandered his potential massively when he was red hot. him getting NXT would be the best thing he could do in the States, my opinion. Yeah, I don't disagree with your assessment, even if you are higher on him than I. Like, I do think there's still truth to what you're saying. So there's definitely something there, man. He has a cool factor. He jumps off the page in that regard. His work concerns me, how like plateaued it is, you know. But I get it for sure. Surprised Tiffany's already in title contention. I assume they would wait till the summer. She's just caught fire, man. Caught fire. It's not surprising at all, but it is. I will say, to your point, it is probably a little bit like, wow, that she's done it so quickly, right? I think we all knew she'd get here, but to your point, it is very quick. Especially with how Triple H generally does these things. Like, it's not, it isn't saying generally he's done, right? Tiffany leaped over every low-card woman in the WWE. She's about top six or seven now already. Yeah. She's special, dude. Like, it is what it is. I mean, the people react to her because, like, she does jump off the page. As an athlete, her promos are not, like, great, but she has personality and she has a gimmick. Yeah, I'm not surprised at success, but I definitely get the point that it's happened incredibly quickly. Feels like Braun's going to continue team with Corbin on the main roster soon. Unfortunately, they could win one of the tag titles imminently. I'm not sure, but I honestly, they're such a sick team, I wouldn't be against it, even if it wouldn't be my, you know, I don't think it's the right play, but I wouldn't be against it just because of how damn good they were as a team. But I definitely get the concern. That's a bullet straight to my brain, Joe. Why have you done this? I'm calling the police. What did I do? What did I do here? Okay, I'd have to scroll now down. What did I say that was like this was very alarming around 25 minutes ago? Folks, please inform me so that I can then scroll back up 20 minutes. Osprey Max. Okay, cool. Oh yeah, I knew that was gonna happen. That's fine. All right, now let me get back to where I was here in half an hour ago land. All right. Mox and Hangman has longness too. They had a hell of a feud. Absolutely. This ruled. This was a very sharp retort by me on the worldwide. Put myself over here. Sharp retort by me. All right. Worldwide was quite funny on Monday, I must say. While I'm putting myself over. You call yourself the Billy Goat. I call you Billy Choke. Maxwell Jacob Friedman, 27th of April, 2025. There's a version of that that would rule. I'm not sure it will. Be the version we get. This Lyra Blair comparison. I feel like you could easily turn MJF again with how Adam turned on him. That should make him not be our trust again. Yeah, I think he'll be a heel before long. Very soon. Very, very soon. Favorite hidden gem Usos match. American Alpha when they win the SmackDown belts in February 2017, I think. No one talks about those matches. There's two. One of them is really good. I think it's the first one. Yeah, it's the title change one. They have like a squash in 2016, which is what leads to their heel turn. ROH 2003, 2008, or New Japan 2014, 2019. New Japan, just because I got to watch it in real time. Yeah. I watch more of the ROH stuff now, but I think it's hard to have the same connection when you actually lived that roller coaster, you know? So I'd say the latter. I think if I see another hint of a big Bronson Reed push, I might lose it. Yeah, we need to do something about this, man. I'm telling you. I mean, I'm gonna try to hold the man down, but we need. Every time I see it, every time it happens to it, everyone message me, you know. Ronson Reed back in the. There was one time this. Okay, what I just said wasn't true, but this is true. There was one time, it was like 4 a.m. for me, 3 a.m. And Ibu of WrestlePurist recorded his TV. So he could send me a Bronson Reed promo. No mess, no caption or anything. I just get a video that's like 1 minute 30 of Bronson Reed talking in a pre-tape. This is the treatment I get for being a co-host and a friend, you know? Just no reason for it. Real shame. Some love for DPW in the chat. Again, I haven't seen any. I've heard great things from folks I respect. I just haven't seen any of it, unfortunately. I'm going to watch the Roddy show, though, definitely. I may even do a watch-along. Let's see. Yet drop over some heels or just general challenges for Cody. Who would you choose? Challenges for Cody. All right, let's throw some names out. Sheamus, definitely, as a heel. I don't think that's a leap away. Right? You could easily turn him. The Orton thing we've discussed a lot. I'm hesitant on. Kevin Owens, I would not be rushing to turn, but, I mean, God, that's easy, right? Lest we forget, Kevin Owens is the guy who kind of told the Bucks to look after Codeman when he left. So there's an interesting story those guys could tell. Bron Breakker, Bobby Lashley, another guy you'd have to turn, but easily could easily be done. He's working with AJ now. On Raw, who have we got? Gable. Now as a heel. That's natural. They'd have a great match. They had a really good match on Raw already, actually. Gunther is the big one that you're building to. Drew McIntyre, they just had a match on Raw where Drew won. So there's one. And probably Braun and Andrade would be like the last two names that I just attached. But there's a handful that immediately come to mind just scrolling here. My dad watches Dynamite on occasion, so when his favorite wrestler Kenny got fired from the Elite, he stood up in protest. If you had any funny moments watching me there. Yeah, I've had many, many. it's very difficult to just pick out one. But my favorite is when he stumbles upon an internet take without realizing it's an internet take. He was ahead of the curve with the Jericho stuff. He was out on that before, when I was still putting it over on the air. The funniest thing he said on when we were watching the tape on Sunday was when Samoa Joe lost the world title, with Jim Ross said, "Congratulations to Samoa Joe for being a great world champion." And my dad goes, "Why did he just congratulate Samoa Joe?" And I said, "Because he's his favorite wrestler." So it's always fun. My brother and I are like nerds, so it's a weird experience. So we have to kind of rein in our nerddom and just let him watch the show. Like Hook, he thinks Hook's like the baddest man on the planet because he would just watch the show, you know? So it's cool. I think everyone should try and have that perspective best they can. Not necessarily a father, a brother, whatever, but just like it's if you can talk to someone who's a wrestling fan that isn't a wrestling sicko that would watch the whole house show, try to do it, even if it might be a little bit hard sometimes to rein yourself in, you know, because you do realize, there was recently a quote from Charles Barkley. And he lists his favorite wrestler. He said Jimmy Uso, and everyone was dunking on it. But it's like, look, man, there's no way Charles gives a fuck that Jimmy isn't having good match. He doesn't even know probably that Jimmy isn't having good match. He just thinks he's the funny brother on SmackDown, you know? So it's good to have a reminder on those things. Tama Tonga's one like that. Like, people see Tama Tonga and they're not familiar with his work, and they're like, oh my God, this guy's going to win the world title. Probably not, but that's part of the game. My boldest prediction is Becky's about to become the highest paid woman in wrestling history. I think that's a good prediction, especially with the current circumstances. Yes, Chuck's right. We need to fuel Chuck's theories. Absolutely. You'd be watching the Billy Corgan Adventures in Carnyland show. Absolutely not. That sounds like a horrifying thing. Completely random. I'm actually very excited for the OC Trent feud, probably because I think Trent is freaking amazing. Do you think they have a bloodbath at Double or Nothing? I personally do. I definitely think they have a bloodbath. I'm not sure it'll be on Double or Nothing. I could see it being a collision main event or something like that. But yeah, I absolutely think they're going to do a bloodbath. And I'm with you, man. Look, Trent is not the most dynamic personality. He's not a guy who's going to be winning the world title anytime soon, but I think he's earned a real shot to have be like a guy on the roster as a heel. And I think who better than Orange Cassidy? I'm with you. I think it's going to be very good. So we got here some love for Piper Niven. TNA rebrand found him so soon. He's honestly as TNA as it gets. God bless. He's amazing, dude. It's like a curse. You think Finn will win the world heavyweight title this year in the future? I do not. No, I think he's very much a role player at this point. And he's a great role player. So Favorite AJ matches outside of TNA, WWE, and New Japan. The Kyle O'Reilly TV match from Ring of Honor is terrific. The Paul London match, I want to say. I want to get a date on this. One second, folks. This is from like way back in the olden days. Unless I'm mistaken, confusing, getting wires crossed. Yeah, no, I'm not. Okay, good. June 14th, 2003. Tremendous, tremendous match. Paul London and AJ Styles. They have a freeway too with Loki that's from like probably a couple months before that. There's a few that immediately come to mind. There's some really good stuff from him. I mean, he also did like some of the trios with the Bucks are fucking awesome in that time, dude. Like AJ was transformative for Bullet Club as the ace of the group. So yeah, those definitely come to mind. Trying to think of the indie stuff we did in 2014. There's an Amazing Red match. It's pretty sick in 2014, I think. 2014, 2015. So yeah. It does. This is true. Yes, it does rule that Sami Zayn's wife is like good on TV. It's very funny. Trivia question, Joe. WrestleMania 2000 had one singles match. Can you name it? No, absolutely not. No clue. I couldn't name you five matches in WrestleMania 2000. I'm very bad at things like that. And that's not even, honestly, probably a mania I've seen once in my whole life. Who would you say the top five works in WWF right now? All right. Sammy. Definitely. Now, this is always interesting because overness is such a big part of the game there because it changes your matches. But I would say Sammy, Gunther, I would say KO because I think KO is just, to me, the way he can adjust and the way he can give energy to matches that don't really deserve it, I just think he's extraordinary. Sammy, Gunther, KO, Gable, and I don't want to be dismissive of Cody. I think Cody may be my five seed. Ray's getting up there with respect. I'll say Cody, sure. Andrade is there on the, he hasn't quite connected yet, so I'm going to leave him off. That would probably be my five. Becky Lynch is so reliable, but like she's mechanically not, I don't consider her to be like a conventionally great worker, even though she absolutely is a great worker because of the way she can, she's very punk-like in that way. We've discussed this. Look in the women's division. EO, man. Fuck. EO would be the name that in this bracket I would circle, you know? So yeah, there's a loose list for you, mate. I hope that was good enough. Favorite moment from Joe's world title reign, the match he had with Hook, I think was, well, I think that was an incredible achievement. Like, not even to be a dick, I think that was amazing what they did with that match. Or that first promo at Daly's place, sick. How would you rank the Punk Joe matches? I know you said that Joe Punk 2 is up there as best match on American soil, but I feel like third is their best. That's one of those Godfather 1 or 2 deals. That's not true, actually. I think Godfather 2 is much better, but, you know, that's like, how do you split them? One is definitely the third. One is not as good as the other two. I've gone back and forth on it. As in recent times, I think two is my favorite. Two and three are interchangeable. One is definitely the three seed, I think. If you're including the AEW matches, I don't think the second and third are unseated, but I would put Wembley above the first match, personally. Collision would be fifth. Joe, can you explain why Ibu has the Dakota hate agenda? What has the Pullman done to him? It's just doesn't know ball, man, is what it is. I have no idea, actually. We all have blind spots, man. There are wrestlers he likes I think fucking suck, but you know, yeah, we get. Joe, what are your thoughts on Cody as a worker? I feel like there's such a split opinion on him. I think he's very, very good and has frequent flashes of greatness. The only thing I would say about him is I think sometimes he wants to be multiple different wrestlers at once sometimes. And at times he wants to be Sting, and other times he wants to be, you know, like television champion, drop down tackle, get it again. You know, like I think sometimes he struggles with that. He's been a lot better at that in WWE than he was in AEW. The classic Sammy Guevara ladder match, as great as it is like it starts with like a, you know, like headlock takedown opening, which always popped me. So I think mechanically, I think his work is great, and I think he generally veers in the right direction. He could just overcomplicate his own formula sometimes, but I think he's very, very good. I'm trying to be a little more gun-shy on great when I talk about how great an overall wrestler is. I think we often throw around a lot. He certainly has been great on many occasions. You look at the Dustin match. I think the Backlash match with Seth is like, honestly, like by far their best match. I truly believe that. So, yeah, I mean, he's very, very good, and at times he's absolutely great. Yeah. Tremendous, tremendous. And what he's, honestly, beyond any of that, man, what he's built himself to be, I just find to be staggering. When I was there in Cardiff last week, and that was just, blew me away, legitimately, like how over he is. Good God. Which is the more impactful faction of this generation, Bullet Club or The Shield? Now, this is difficult because impactful is a very broad term. In terms of the guys in The Shield, what they've done is extraordinary. I mean, Moxley is the most significant wrestler beyond the WWE system since leaving. Seth is the WWE audience's like favorite work rate guy. And Roman Reigns is the guy of this era. So in terms of what they've individually done, it's them with, you know, by far. But Bullet Club, for good and bad, has cost such a wide span. You know, there's so much that now falls under Bullet Club. But I think with Impact, I think it's impossible to beat Bullet Club because Bullet Club is kind of what created AEW, you know? So when you kind of talk about impact on the industry, Bullet Club, because of how many people have been in it and how many people have, like, you know, it's that kind of butterfly effect situation. I think you kind of have to say Bullet Club, even though as individuals, obviously, The Shield are far and away. So that's an interesting question there. They're so different, right? Watch Dustin versus Vader was intriguing, so I'm not knowledgeable of that era. Yeah, I could definitely see, like, I know I've suggested on here, just throwing yourself in maybe a little tough, but I do love that match. I see Chuck is policing the chat. I appreciate it, Chuck. This was 20 minutes ago. It may have got worse, I don't know. I have never seen Over for Me wrestle. All right. Hello, Cody. Daily's place tonight. Mox going through the door like old times would be kind of the real we need. Didn't think about that. I would fucking roll. As IWGP champ, too. My God. When you get the RH book from Tony, you tend to put all the RH shows on Honor Club so I didn't have to pay 50. 50. See, Night of the Butcher 2006. My God. Honor Club is, well, you know, I'm not going to get into this again, but, you know, let's see. Honor Club's a real situation, folks. Once I signed up for Honor Club on the weekend and they told me that it sometimes doesn't work on the weekends. This is before the Tony Khan era, but I tell that story whenever I can because it's very funny. This is a good job for Charlie. Let's get Charlie in charge of the PWG tape library. Okay. Some LA Night chatter. Yes. I assume you did regarding Hook AEW. That makes sense. Can't for the life of me figure out how the World Heavyweight Championship lineage pans out this year. It's very difficult. If it goes back to Drew, then him and Punk are going to work for it. But, like, it feels like Gunther's. I don't know. Yeah, it is very hard to say. Very, very difficult. Garcia. Yes, Garcia is the PWG champ. Yeah, Chuck is correct. All right. I have no problem with Braun and Corbin continuing to team. To be honest, very confused by the insistence. Braun has to be pushed like O2 Brock, even though there's no room for that right now on TV. Yeah, fair. Dean Malenko discourse breaking out popped me. That was nasty. I got cornered by Montgomery. That was nasty. Very, very nasty. I had to, like, I had no choice but to give my viewpoint, but I felt bad about it. Dean's a legend, man. People have a lot great affinity for Dean. It's like, he's not really my favorite worker by any means. I'm not a huge fan of his style, but people fucking love Dean Malenko. I didn't want to be doing that in the middle of a pay-per-view review, but Monty knew it would be funny, so he immediately pushed that button. Any really great wrestlers that you just don't get? I've never really got Roddy Piper. I think it's his unfortunate promos. Need a hit. Hot takes that could hurt against Sean Worldwide. Get is probably the wrong phrase because I try my best to understand grapplers' appeals if they're popular because I think it's like, you know, I think it's probably the right play when you do this whole shit that I do. But someone that I've never like had a connection with is Jeff Hardy, and he's like one of the most popular wrestlers ever. So, you know, he's just, it's like that archetype, him and Van Damme both, honestly, like I just haven't connected with them ever. But people fucking love him. So what do I know, right? That's probably the closest I would say. Would you do Cody Punk as the Mania match next year? If so, for the title without, I would not, because I would do the Dwayne match, even though, you know, even though I have some concerns about Rock working as singles, Cody and Rock is, it's big business, brother. I'd do that. Joe, the crowd pops for Bronson Reed, especially his finisher. Doesn't make it right. We have to draw the line somewhere. We as the public, we have to step in. There you go. Look, Chuck, we may be doing this. Chuck's into it, so maybe we'll do a deadlock. I need to get some deadlock experts involved because I have no, again, I've never seen the show. So, yeah. Hilarious question, to which I will simply say, if I am ranking them as professional wrestlers, I would say that it should probably go in the order you've listed them, because, you know, as great as Tiffany Stratton's moonsault is, she's only been wrestling for 3 years, and The Undertaker, while being The Undertaker, and all that comes with being The Undertaker, was pretty good at times, folks. I know it's unpopular to say it now. I know Robert O'Neill has pretended otherwise. Unfortunately, he was good. So make of that what you will. All right. Meech is being spiteful in the chat. Papa Holbert enjoyed Ospreay and Brian. I thought it was incredible. He loves Ospreay and Brian both. He thinks that they're probably his, you know, top two wrestlers. I said to him, who are the best wrestlers in the world? Everybody said those two. Loves them both. Right. I'm scrolling. Fanbase still likes MJF, I think. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. MJF's going to get a huge reaction when he comes back. I saw Tama showed up and legitimately laughed out loud. Family watched the segment, were horrified at what he and Soto did to poor Jim. Yeah, man. And I saw like a tweet about, like, I can't believe the way they've got people throughout Tama Tonga. It's like, I can. He's a fucking handsome Tongan dude. He looks like he can kill someone. Eh? You know, this scraps TV, man. We've overcomplicated this shit with our spreadsheets, you know? Like, and I don't think Tama's bad either. I think he's like fine. I think he actually had some stretches where he was quite good a couple years ago. But, yeah, he's not a great worker or anything, but he's a good-looking guy. Abs, Tongan, God bless, right? That's enough for the masses, brother. Get going. You see the Good Brothers still in NXT? I did not know this was the case. Talking Shop is back, though. Everyone go listen to Talking Shop. Finney's in his Clippers Russell Westbrook stage of his career. Incredible comp for a range of reasons, but sure. Yeah, so that's the value of Finn. He's the versatility, as you said. Finn Balor is a challenger for Cody. I would probably avoid it because I feel like they wrestled 100 times. Like, maybe it's just because I saw it live, but I feel like they wrestled a lot. What do you think of Montez as a mid or top talent? I think Montez, sky's the limit. It didn't really come together the last time they like flirted with a singles run. They seem to get gun shy on it. But yeah, I think Tez is great. He has great energy. He has a great look. He has a certain cool factor. He's incredibly athletic and dynamic. I don't know how his work would hold up in a 15, 20 minute singles match. When I see him have singles matches when he was doing that stuff with LA Knight, he didn't look like a natural, but he also hasn't done it a lot. So I think Tez is great. I don't know if it will ever quite get there. He'll ever quite reach those heights. But if tomorrow, you know, four of the top guys retired and you had to pick guys to elevate, I think he has to be on that list, to me anyway. I think he could totally connect. So, yeah, I like Tez a lot. You mentioned Loki. When can I get my Loki Dolph rematch? I'm not sure Dolph's brain is rushing for that one, to be honest with you. I think giving Bron and Ilya early shots at Cody where he raises their hands after the match will do more for them than just dropping into the US title division. I think that's a great call for Ilya in particular, yeah. The Bron one is such a specific matchup. I might save that, but I definitely agree with Ilya. Dragunov. Yeah, Dragunov probably should go on that work. He's not really my vibe, right? So I would probably leave Dragunov off just because he's so theatrical. I struggle with it sometimes. He's obviously great. I mean, his stuff is spectacular. What's your 12-man bracket for King of the Ring? Okay, who we got? Drew, Sheamus, Woods, and Gunther, right? We need to get Andrade in there. We need to get Dom's injured. We really should get Otis in there if we're shooting. That puts us at six. SmackDown, I think we could roll some tears out there for what we were just talking about. Seven. The Machine Gun, Carl Anderson, eight. Dragon Lee, nine. Sheamus, we've already listed, never mind. Put Bate and Dunn in there. 10, 11. And for the 12 seed, we will do... Well, none of these names really jump off the page, I must concede. We'll give old Seti a shot. Cedric Gazzano still works in the World Wrestling Federation. I don't see him very often, but I like Cedric Alexander a lot, and I'm glad that he has managed to stay there for as long as he has, because I believe he has now worked for WWE for 8 years. So, God bless him. That is longer than multiple Hall of Fame careers. Cedric Alexander can close out the bracket. Where does Samoa Joe go next? Probably home, right? I think he's going to chill out for a little bit. And this is all guessing. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about this. I'm guessing he's going to chill out and do the TV show. So I think we're not going to see him for a little bit. Hopefully I'm wrong and he's on tonight and kicks ass and beats someone up. That'd be awesome. But yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's going to be around for a little bit, unfortunately. Again, hopefully I'm wrong. Some Code Rhodes talk in the chat. Where does Seth Freakin rate in the ring wise in the Fed? For me, not very high. For some people, would have him in the top three. His work isn't really my thing. His effort is undeniable. Selling is a problem, but my main thing is I just think his stuff has got so much loose. It's just not for me. But you know, he gets over with the people, right? Okay. Who's drafting Redacted and how early will we get picked? I think Manny's going to do some. Yeah. I think Manny's going to do some very spiteful things on Friday. But assuming that's what you're referencing and not someone on the WWE roster for Friday. But yes, I'm concerned. Or how? Missed the old IWGP title design. Yeah, you and me both, bro. It fucking sucks now. Mox will look sick with it. Absolutely. Sorry, folks, I'm going a little quicker just because, you know, we've been here for a while. But I do appreciate the chat has been amazing. And if I've missed it, anything, I apologize. I really do. But I'm going to try and catch up here. Most old head opinion on current wrestling. Kind of get bothered a bit, but by unnecessary unnecessary one count kickouts. Got there. Okay. Like the Sting one is trying to match for a special, which I jump out of my seat. Oh, man, this could open a can of worms. I have a lot. I think it's a shame that every match has a finishing stretch. I think that's bad. I think that's a mistake. I think some wrestling matches should end. And I think the fact that every match is produced like it's going to, you know, the big screen, I think is a problem because I think it detracts from actual finishing stretches. Not everyone is as good as Will Ospreay and can make them look good regardless. Like, I think that's a problem. I think doing run-ins to protect wrestlers and not putting them over is an absolute major issue in wrestling, where a booker is like, I don't want to beat this guy, so I'm going to do a run-in. And then the announcers don't even put it over. When the heel has a run-in to win a match, the announcers should be mad. They should be sitting there enraged that this guy just ruined a match. They should not be like, well, you got the job done. What are you going to do? It's bad. You know, there's no point doing it if you're going to do that. You might just have him win clean. Every single wrestler standing in the center of the ring and trading strikes, which only buries it for the guys who should be doing that. I have a lot of them. I'm getting old. Here's what it is. I'm watching less and less current wrestling, unfortunately. And I'm never, ever going to be a dick about it or be like a, you know. I think the way some people phrase that stuff is fucking lame. So that's not my style at all. But there's a lot of stuff in wrestling that I think people do because they think they're supposed to do it. And I wish there were more people that had like a, they were more delicate with the wrestling they wanted to see rather than just like, I believe in it's a variety show, but I think there should be limits to that. And I think that you can still have rules internally and police certain things to make them feel special. And yes, that is old head talk, but I do think it's true, you know? So I don't know. That's just me. I know most people don't give a fuck, but you asked, that's my answer. I hope that was somewhat insightful. Where's the most obscure modern match you think over-delivered? I remember watching an NXT 2.0 Andre Chase, Charlie Dempsey match. It was very good. I reviewed a Charlie Dempsey match with the young man called Miles Bourne, I believe. Yes, Miles Bourne. And I remember that match being very good. Obscure modern match that over-delivered. Ethan Page and Tony Nese. That was a blast. Yeah, this was nasty, absolutely. What do you think of the Matchroom's Queensbury Survivor Series deal? It is fucking hilarious, especially that Deontay Wilder is the captain. All right. Let me scroll up here. Hopefully I didn't break my stream yard again. I'm good. Okay. I don't get it. They mute the music from shows. It can't take that long to digitize footage from the last 2 decades. I do like the matches selecting a playlist so you can avoid bad matches. Honor Club, yes, it is also unfortunate they don't have on the DVD posts, they don't have like chapters. So if you click on like the best of Bryan Danielson, I think it's on there, it's like 5 hours long. You just have to scroll like it's fucking 2009. All right. I don't know, man. I don't agree with this. I think Taker had a lot of bad matches, but I think he also wrestled a lot of bad wrestlers. I think Taker had a lot of good campaigns. Maybe I'm being too favorable, too generous. I don't really care, to be clear. I mean, I don't particularly like the gentleman, but I don't know. I think there's been like an overcorrection on Taker, to be honest. That's just me. Chuck is very anti-LEDs, as we know. Respect. I agree. I think Max had a lot of good stuff to start his reign. I agree with that. How do you push STP, or do they stay in their role? They probably stay in their role because they're good at it. And that's like, that sounds harsh, right? But like, I mean it with love. It's you need guys like that, man. I think you obviously want to get Shane a couple wins, just give him some cred, but I don't think they climb much higher. Lee May, I'm not sure though. Lee might be able to, but he's got a long way to go in that regard because that roster is fucking stacked, dude. Okay, 1 second. There we go. Too early prediction from the NBA Finals. I think Boston are going to win the chip, unfortunately. I don't take any great pleasure in saying that. I think it's deeply unfortunate in every which way. I think maybe Denver and Boston will be my final. That Celtics team is just... I've felt that way all year, so yeah. Some Tamatonga chatter in the chat. Who's up first for Swerve at Double or Nothing? I think Hangman. If not Hangman, I think Christian Cage. I believe so. Christian's the like safest pick. The Hangman match is the most compelling, but I don't know what the finish is, because, like, I don't know how you do that without having to just beat Hangman again, which you should probably avoid, right? I guess. No Collie, I mean King of the Ring. Not quite, just a bit outside. If Cole was in the King of the Ring, I need Pat McAfee to mention how he made G1 finals. Maybe. Unless Cole doing it would be funnier, because then you'd get the tweet immediately after of like Cole's on New Japan World. Like, he didn't just Google it, you know. I throw Garcia at Swerve, but also when his next title match to be a win. Yeah, I think Garcia's gonna go for Okada, to be honest. I think so. You see Poirier's face in the draft pool picture. I did not. I can imagine it's funny. His face is always funny at this point. They should do Joe versus Mox for the IWGP title. They should do Joe versus Mox for any kind of... That doesn't... I mean, whatever bell we're talking, those two dudes need to work with each other. That's like a must. That program would be so great. The bloody match that have to. Yes, please. Surprised they have not continued the Daniel Garcia Coke program. Felt like I had a lot of juice and should lead to Danny winning. Yeah. I think Jack Perry, yeah, Chuck said the same thing. I think Jack Perry's slotting in there, which, you know, isn't as much for me, but I get he's got a lot of relevance and momentum right now. Straight Graps question, powerbomb German, suplex, Death Valley driver ranked 1-3. Death Valley driver 3, German suplex 2, powerbomb. And a catch powerbomb in particular can be like, you get a visceral reaction from people, you know. There's a very prominent wrestler once who we don't say around here that Ibu talks about a lot, who used to do a very, very sick powerbomb. When Kenny Omega gets surgery, how long do you think he'll be out for? I have no clue, man. Hopefully not too long. We miss him very much. It's been too long without him. Yeah, I'm not sure the details on that stuff. Okay. Shout out to Akash Sharma in the chat. Good friend. Friend of the show. Undertaker discourse has broken out. The Sixers. I was very confused. Yeah, the Sixers. It's over. I'm sorry, Andrew. It's done. I've given up. I gave up a couple of years ago, though, to be fair. I do think it can be a very competitive series. I feel like game 2 was massive, though. Massive game, I think. Just that's the one that shapes the series to me, you know. We'll see. With the Cole Fletcher match happening tonight, I honestly think it could be Takeshita versus Swerve at Double or Nothing. Fine by me. They had a killer match on TV recently. Some fantasy booking for Swerve. All right. I think I've caught up. I think so. I think I'm cool. What Charlie said about Hangman Swerve, I wouldn't do the next match till Wrestle Dream and have Hangman go over there if Swerve loses at All In. That's good. And then you could do a whole new story of Hangman kind of picking the bones after Swerve's low point. That could be good. All right. Folks, this has been very, very fun. We went 94 minutes of just exclusively answering questions, which is fucking hilarious. I don't know why anyone cares, but for some reason there are many questions. I didn't even get to answer all of them, but I tried my best. I hope at some point I was insightful. Probably not, but I hope so. Now I'm going to do some plugs. Okay. Tomorrow, WrestlePurious Dynamite Review. Myself, Charlie, maybe AO, maybe Monty, I'm not sure. But tomorrow is the Dynamite Review on WrestlePurious, and I am back. Friday, the flagship of Late Night Grin, the big time, all time LNG draft. Myself, Matt, Alex, Manny, Bobby, and the Oracle of Wrestling drafting any pro wrestler in history. Yes, even those ones. Any of them could be picked on Friday night. There'll be 20 picks, I believe we're going to do. 120 wrestlers will be on the board by the end of the night. This could go anywhere, right? We're all going to build separate rosters that I'm sure will be completely distant from each other in psychology and philosophy. So that is Friday. It's going to be at 10:30 Eastern, about 20 minutes after SmackDown ends. Come join us. Rampage is not on this week, so a little bit early start time. That is this Friday. Now, I need you to do something for our guy. All right. Oh, the Cat Terry Runnels match was the one singles match at WrestleMania 2000. Thank you to Andrew for the answer. All right. Before we get out of here, please do the thumbs up. Please subscribe. And also, I'm trying to get this thing across on Late Night Grin, and it's going great. The audience is doing a great job with this. Apparently, if you comment, it's good. So, when I hit end stream in a minute, if you go under this video and you comment, maybe you could comment something like Dean Malenko good. Maybe you could say something like Undertaker bad or good. One or the other, make a choice in that regard. Maybe you could say Tama Tonga thumbs up. You know, it could be any of these things. It could be about my hair getting out of control. It could be about the horror shirt I'm wearing. It could be about any of these things. But if you comment them below, apparently it helps the channel. So do that, like, subscribe, do all those great things. Here is a very funny picture of me as Video Game Samoa Joe. I only just realized it was Video Game Samoa Joe before I went live, but I'm going to have to re-download that fucking game to play as Samoa Joe, which is hilarious. But nonetheless, appreciate you all. I'll see you tomorrow on WrestlePurists. See you Friday on LNG. But for now, as always, folks, thanks for the house. Enjoy Dynamite.